In Jesus' precious name. You are welcome to this auspicious presence of God, as we are eternally grateful to God for His goodness, for His mercies, and for His compassion. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Today is the last day, or the last midweek service of the our month. Of light has come and the glory is risen through the manifestation of His power. We've seen several things about the power of God, and today we're going to look at a very, very important subject, and that is power leakage. Power leakage, the leakage of power. So the overall subject is causes of power leakage. And our objective is to understand the factors that can cause or lead to the leakage of power. Judges chapter 16 and in verse 20. The Bible said, and Samson went out as at other times, Judges 16:20, but he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. One of the saddest stories in scripture is the story of Samson. It's one of the most highly anointed personalities in scripture. Operated in a very strange dimension of power. Very strange dimension of might, energy. Samson was the one that could carry a lion and tear the lion with bare hand, like you will tear a piece of paper. Samson was the person that will carry the jawbone of an ass and use it to kill 1,000 people with bare hand. Samson was the person that will lift up the gate of the Philistines, carry it on his shoulder, and walk uphill 14 miles. Yet this man ended as a great disaster. There came a point in his life where he was trying to move in power, and the power wasn't there anymore. The question is, what led to that power leakage? Every time you mention Samson, the first thing that comes to the mind of most people is Delilah. She's the center of it, but there are many things to glean from the leakage of power in the life of Samson. And we're going to go through it very quickly. What are the sources of power leakage using Samson as a case in point? Number one, the wrong association. The wrong association. Understand that association defines value and virtue in the life of a person. Value and virtue. Proverbs 27:17 said, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What is the meaning of all that? That is first, or second now. that the right association will bring appreciation in value and virtue. When you associate rightly, your values will go up, your virtue or power will go up. The right association will bring appreciation in value and virtue. On the other hand, the wrong association will bring a depreciation in value and virtue. There is somebody you will call friend that will cause you to begin to behave in ways you never expected to. You begin to lose value. You also begin to lose virtue. And that is power with the wrong association. In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, Peter and John appreciated in value and in virtue because of who they associated with. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These people appreciated, they shifted up in value. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5 all the way to verse 6, we saw how that Saul entered the company. It was the company of the prophets in the garrison of the Philistines. As he entered that company, something shifted up in his life. He began to prophesy. There was a value impartation, a value, a virtue appreciation, because he was in the right company. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 and in verse 1 to 2, we saw how David went to the cave of Adullam, and then his brethren and all his father's house had, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in debt, everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves to him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. These people that were non-entities became the mighty men of Jacob, of David, because they went around him. Beloved brothers and sisters, if you carry power, you cannot afford the company of those who don't value power. You cannot play in the company of those who mock power. Who tolerate power, or those who are not interested in power. Otherwise, they dry you up and they drain you up. If you connect electric wire to electric wire, power will transmit. If you connect electric wire to wood, it will short circuit the power. It will destroy the capacity of that power to flow. So number one is the wrong association. Number two is the lack of consecration. The lack of consecration. Consecration is key to transmission and manifestation. Consecration is key to transmission and manifestation of power. Your consecration determines your transmission, and your consecration determines your manifestation. Please understand that men and women of great consecration are men and women of great transmission and manifestation. If they have great consecration, they have great transmission and great manifestation. You look at the life of Moses. Moses consecrated for 40 days twice. No food, no water. And then away from everything else but God. That was one of the most powerful symbols of power in the Old Testament, Moses. Then you look at Elijah. Elijah went in the strength of a food for 40 days before God. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, I believe from verse 6, 7, 8, He went in the strength of a food, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coast and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drank and laid him down again. And the angel of God came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He was literally on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. No other food. One food, and then the next 40 days, nothing. He was separated from food, separated from people, separated from everything else but God. And Elijah, if you know about the Bible, Moses and Elijah were symbols of power in the Old Testament, right? Now, who are the symbols of power in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. And then, Paul the Apostle. If you look at Luke chapter 4, and in verse 1, the Bible talked about, and Jesus being led full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then being 40 days tempted of the devil. The emphasis, in those days he did eat nothing, and when the days were ended, he was an hungered. He was the Son of God, yet he was able to move in a consecrational fast. For 40 days, 40 nights, he was not asking for money, he was just consecrating. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 27, he said, in fastings often, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. When we talk about consecration, we are talking of separation. We are talking of seasons of separation from everything else but God. Separation from food, separation for the sake of prayer, separation for the sake of fasting, separation from the wrong association, and all of that goes into consecration. Separation in lifestyle and in habit, it all goes into consecration. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say aloud, amen. When you look at the life of Samson, he was born powerful, but he didn't do anything to sustain the power. He was with the wrong association, not the right one. No prayers. No fasting. No altars. No sacrifices. Samson prayed only twice. One time, when he needed water. In Judges chapter 15 verse 18. Only twice. And he was so affected and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God cleaved an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit revived again. He only fasted for his flesh when his body was in need. He never fasted or prayed. In fact, he didn't fast, he only prayed. He never prayed to seek God. He never prayed for the deliverance of his people. Next time Samson would ever pray was after he had been quarantined by the Philistine. After he had jumped up and down and he could jump no more, and they quarantined him in Judges chapter 16 verse 28. That was the second time Samson would pray. And he told, and then Samson called on the Lord and said, oh Lord God, remember me, I beg you. That is, I am in trouble. I have put myself in trouble. I need your help. Let me die with these people. No prayer to seek God. No prayer to do anything. See, whenever you are in power, remember that whatever took you in is that which will keep you in. Samson did not connect with the consecration of his father, of his mother, the consecration that gave birth to him, the consecration that made him anything. Samson couldn't connect with any of those. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. I've seen people in great power in time past, and suddenly no more power.
No more prayer, no more fasting, nothing. The wrong association. Number two, the lack of consecration. Number three, the presence of transgression. Transgression. When we talk about transgression, what are we referring to? First, it is the life of disobedience to God. And second, the life of obedience to the devil. Obedience to the devil, or obedience of the devil. Disobeying God, obeying the devil. Third, it is the life that is lived for self, not lived for God. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve transgressed, they lost both the presence of God and lost the glory of God. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 21, God drove man from the Garden of Eden. He made them cloths of skin and drove them out. If you read all the way to verse 24. Why was there so much power flowing in the life of the Master Jesus? John chapter 14 verse 30. John 14:30. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. The devil is looking for what to find in me, but he couldn't. No wonder he moved in a power that was beyond imagination. Paul the apostle also moved until handkerchiefs left his body and healed the sick. Acts chapter 19 verse 11 and 12. He said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Somebody say a loud amen. What was the secret? First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10. That was Paul the apostle. He said, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Transgression will lead to a disconnection of power. Transgression will lead to a disruption of manifestation. Any form of transgression. In the days of the healing revival, there came a time where there came a lot of competition. Who is more popular? Who has a bigger tent? People began to exaggerate and lie about the attendance of meetings. And all manner of unhealthy things. And before you know it, the power began to nosedive. Nosedive until it came to flat bottom. People have asked us many times. Remember we went with a man of God to go in Benue State? And he saw the crowd everywhere. This field was filled, that field was filled. People were hanging on trees and hanging everywhere. Everywhere outside, across the road. He said, these people here must be up to 1 point something million. How many million people are those? I said, I'm not aware. I'm not sure, sir. He said, what exactly do you think will be the number? I said, I can't say even one thing. He said, how? I said, we didn't count them. I can only tell you the number if we counted them one by one. I have never been able to give a crusade numerical figure. I haven't. For two reasons. Number one, I don't want to say what is not. And number two, I don't want to limit it where it is. Because if I begin to say, oh, we are so and so number now, it means that we have arrived. It means that we have settled. It means that we are okay where we are. I don't want to limit it there. Neither do I want to give a figure that is not true. So I will have Jalingo Crusade, plenty crowd. Are there millions of people? I don't know. Okay, give an estimate. I can't. Approximately. No. Am I communicating at all? This thing killed the healing revival. It killed it. Lying, cheating, duping, fraud, uncleanness, ungodliness. Somebody say aloud, amen. The presence of transgression, it will kill the power. It will kill the power. I was sitting with someone some time ago, and he was telling me the account of things that happened. And as he was talking, I knew it was a lie. Complete lie. So one day somebody told a lie. Somebody was preaching, or whatever, was speaking. Let me say speaking, not preaching. He was speaking. And he gave an account of something that he said happened that didn't happen. So somebody asked me, why did you say that such a thing happened, that God did it and it didn't happen? He said, why not? Can God not do such a thing? Wow. Is that beyond what God can do? So if God can do it and God has not done it, will you help God? Will your exaggeration increase His almightiness? Can anybody contribute to the almightiness of God? These are things that before you know it, the glory drops, the unction drops, the manifestation drops. And when reality is off, gimmicks takes the place. All manner of things, maneuverings and manipulations begin to take the place of reality. You will never get to that point in Jesus' name. The absence of the presence of transgression. Now I'm about to say one that is very, very serious. And many people do not know. Take your seat, the presence of transgression. Number 4 is the excessiveness of talk. Excessiveness of talk or excess talkativeness. The first one is okay. Especially excess talk to the wrong people. It can cause the loss of value and the loss of virtue or power. Do I have examples? 1, Joseph talked too much to those who hated him. In Genesis 39 verse 5 all the way to verse 9, he talked too much to those who hated him. Genesis 37 rather, verse 5 to verse 9. As a result of that, Joseph lost his place in his father's house. He lost his privilege as a free-born son. Entered into a strange land as a slave. Later on became a prisoner, suffered for 13 years before his vision came to pass. Somebody may be asking me, but that process was necessary for Joseph to meet Potiphar and Potiphar and interpret the dream and so on and so forth before he became prime minister. Not necessarily. It's not compulsory. It's not compulsory because the gift of dream and interpretation was what took Joseph to the palace, not the meeting of Potiphar or the butler. A search can go around the world for who can interpret a dream, and they could still find Joseph in his father's house. That is, Joseph could still have gone to the palace, but he talked. He talked too much to the wrong people, to those who hated him. They carried him, put him in the pit. Excess talk, especially to the wrong people. It can cause the lack or the loss of virtue. That was Joseph. What of Eve? Eve talked too much with the serpent. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, all the way literally to the end, he was engaged talking with the serpent. Outcome was the loss of grace, the loss of glory, the loss of inheritance that drove Eve and Adam and the whole of the human race into struggling and sweating and suffering. She talked too much. Too much. Our third example is Samson. Samson talked too much to the wrong person, Delilah, leaking the secret of his life. Please, I want you to note that when you talk too much, something leaks. Don't be misunderstood. Once you talk in the midst of too much talk, there is leakage of virtue. There is leakage of virtue. There is leakage of value. There is leakage of something. Samson leaked his secret. What did he lose? He lost power. Lost destiny, and eventually he lost his life. Is God speaking to someone here? Say amen. If God is speaking to anybody here, say loud amen. Somebody saying, are you making this up, or is this really? I'm giving you an example already, but this is the one that should shock you the most. When maximum power was needed for the collapse of Jericho wall, the instruction was for the people to keep quiet until it was time for the power to be released. Judges chapter 6 and in verse 18. Judges 6 and in verse 18. Depart not hence, I pray thee. Joshua 6, 18. Now, verse 19, 20. Alright, back up a little bit. I'm looking at the place where he asked them not to utter a word until he bid them to shout. Go back up a bit. Until the day I bid you to shout. And Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Let us concentrate the power until it is time to release it. Until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Don't let one pin come out of your mouth. Is God speaking to someone here? So that you don't talk unbelief. So that you don't talk doubt. And so that you don't leak power. Until the day I bid you shout. When that day comes, shout at the top of your voice. And they shouted. Because for 7 days, they had not spoken. Power was waiting to explode. They shut it in. It was more like they were imploding inside. And it remained until it was time. And when it was time and they screamed, the wall couldn't stand the power that came. Many of us leaked power through too much talk. You talk too much until you say, devil, come out. You say, who are you talking to? Talkative.
Do you carry anything inside? Empty barrel. Making so much noise. I bind you, witch. Who are you binding? Because your word don't mean anything to you. You release it everywhere. You drop it everywhere. On serious talk, gestures talk. Everywhere. Your word mean nothing to you, so it cannot mean anything to me. Don't you know his name is God, devil? Your word don't mean anything to you. It can't mean anything to me. Everywhere you find yourself, you're always talking. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Samson talked too much. He leaked his secret, leaked his virtue, and leaked everything. Beloved brothers and sisters, there are those who are gifted to talk, talkative. There are those who are natural talkers. And I can assure you, if you are a professional backbiter, a professional gossip, everywhere you found yourself, you are talking about one person or the other, I can guarantee you and prophesy without closing eyes that you are bankrupt of power. Zero. 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 Let me encourage you. Not every time people engage you, you are under the obligation to talk. It is possible to politely say, sorry, I'm not in a mood right now to speak, or I'm unable to answer that question. Politely. Anytime the devil wants you to leak power, he makes you to talk too much. Talk too much until you are talking the wrong thing. According to Proverbs, in the multitude of words, they are wanted not seen. Proverbs 10 verse 19. In the midst of over talk, it is easy to sin. There are people who don't have any other business but to gather people around them to talk against one person or the other, or talk against this person. It is powerlessness you are playing with. If it doesn't happen yet, wait a bit. Listen, most men of power I know, they are men of valuable words. They don't speak empty words or careless words. They are men of value. When they speak, they are highly thoughtful, highly meditative, and they speak very valuable words. Somebody say aloud, amen. And don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that they are a very, very depressive personality, and so they are melancholic, and so they just keep to themselves and they cannot engage anybody, or they are antisocial. Far from it. They can be very jovial, very exciting, and very excitable, but they speak necessary things. They speak valuable things. They speak wholesome things. Even if they make you laugh, they make you laugh on healthy grounds. Healthy talk, healthy joke. Right? Edifying things. They don't branch away into frivolities and vanities. They don't branch away into things that pull down people. Am I communicating? And they know how to shut up when it is time. Yeah, they know how to shut up. They know how to realize when they are. There are times the Holy Ghost will prick your heart. You are talking too much. Yeah, he's quickening you to know that it's not necessary. How are you doing? I am fine. How is everything? Fine. Great to see you. Some people, they will cross that border and keep going. Yes, I'm doing fine. Where did you school? So, I don't know which school you are referring to. I schooled in many places. So, let me begin with the first one. What kind of life is that? It's sickness of word worrying you. Sickness of talk. kind of life is that? Your word determines your worth. What if your word is not worthy? You are not worthy. Your words determines your worth. They determine your worth. Don't let any personality trait deceive you. This is my personality trait. It means I should be talking anyhow. Don't let it deceive you. Somebody say amen. Where you see me talk with the blasts on in this kind of place, or where I come against the devil, or where I'm cracking people up and making them excited and happy, if you catch me in my elements, you will hardly drag one word out of my mouth. You can ask my wife. Ask anybody. Ask my children. Sometimes small children see me and they get shocked. They expect me to be dancing or moving my leg like this or screaming. And then I'm just moving. Oh, baby, how are you? And they're wondering. One day, one young girl met me somewhere. She said, are you Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche? I said, yes, I am the one. He said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'm the one. She says, it's not the voice I hear on television. I said, so you expect me to be shouting on the road? I'm sure she was expecting, are you Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche? Hallelujah, I am the one. Praise the Lord, that devil is a bastard. Hallelujah. One day I came to church and somebody said he saw me preaching and he didn't see my feet on the ground. He saw as if I was suspended in the air and as if fire was coming out of my mouth. Maybe I had fasted for about 3 or 5 days, it was in area one, or 7 days, and I haven't spoken to no mortal within that period. My wife can come and say good morning and all she gets is a nod for that moment. And I've told you before that at times she will come with me and say, that is, I am not in a war. The only thing I can speak now is tongues. I can't speak any other word. She's used to it. Are you following what I'm saying here today? I speak to somebody here today. I prophesy to you in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the resurrected Lord. The Lord engrace you to know how to speak the right words at the right time to the right people. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Leakage of power. Cause number one. The wrong association. Number two. The lack of consecration. Number three. The presence of transgression. Number four. The excessiveness of talk. Number five is the absence of the right voice. The right voice. Not only will you not talk anyhow and carelessly to the right people, but you should also be connected to the right voice. And the most important voice that guarantees power is the voice of God. Psalm 29 and in verse 4. It said, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And so, if you are connected to the right voice, hearing the right words, you know what Job chapter 6 verse 25 said? He said, how possible or how powerful are the right words? When you are connected to the right voice or the right words, you
power connected to power.
God speaking to you in your ears. God speaking to you from His word. You connected to powerful preached message on audio CD, video CD, and the words, words of power, words of wisdom, words of strength are continually entering your spirit. Then you can't lose power.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power.
I'd like you to hear the tragedy of Samson. First, Samson was not connected to the voice of God. He wasn't hearing God. Hello? Next, Samson was not connected to the voice of his parents. Godly parents, the mother who undertook the consecration, she didn't drink any fruit of the vine or anything that was fermentable that would look like alcohol. He didn't drink it throughout the pregnancy of Samson. Samson should have sat with his mother. Let the mother explain the consecration that gave birth to him. Samson was not connected to the voice of his mother. Samson totally was not connected to the voice of any mentor. No teacher, no pastor, no priest. Fourthly, Samson was not connected to the voice of any valuable friend. The only kind of friend Samson had was a friend that would steal his girlfriend. You don't remember what happened? That made Samson to set the corner of the Philistines on fire. His best man married his wife to be. Those are the kind of friends in his life. Do you know the worst? He had no connection with the voice of God. Not the voice of parents. Not the voice of a mentor, a pastor. And that is how so many people are in this generation. Not the voice of any valuable friend. There are people calling themselves pastors and ministers today. You will never see them sit in any meeting to sit down for anybody to teach them. People who are claiming to be teaching without being taught. No voice of God, no voice of parents, no voice of mentor, no voice of any valuable friend. You know the one that is the worst. Samson did not listen to the voice of reason. If you won't listen to God, if you won't listen to your father, you won't listen to mother. You won't listen to a mentor, a pastor. You won't listen to any friend that's no friend. At least you should listen to your own reasoning. Somebody said, number one, if I want to kill you, what do I do? And you say, if you do this, you can kill me. And the person truly brought people to kill you. And you didn't die. And the person comes back again and says, why are you lying to me? You said you love me and you didn't tell me how I can kill you. And Samson said another thing. And she brought the lords of the Philistine to kill Samson. It didn't work. And they said, no, you have lied too much to me. You claim to love me. And I said, tell me if I want to kill you, what do I do? And he didn't tell me. You know, I told you that the right words carry the right force. Do you know the wrong words also carry the negative forces? Judges 16:16, he said he pressed Samson. He pressed, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. So that he released the negative force of her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death.
But he now said to Samson, Samson told her all his heart. If you ask me, if I want to kill you, what should I do? What do I do to you? I kill you first. I kill you first and all those who sent you. Even if you are evil, suffer not the he that taketh the sword must die by the sword. I am Samson, and you told me, if I want to kill you, he's not trying to kill you by finding out from anybody else, or by going through means of killing. He's asking yourself. The reasoning of Samson could not tell Samson that this is not a place to be. This is not a person to talk with. Be on your way, Samson. He told, that was the saddest statement you will ever hear, was what came out of Samson's mouth. There has no razor been on my head. I have never drank anything. My mother didn't drink anything fermented. If you enter the center of my head, you will see 3 locks of the hair. If you cut them, I am gone. Been a Nazareth unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. So you know you are not like any other man, and you are hanging around ordinary prostitute, deadly killer prostitute, killer prostitute that was given a contract to kill the man. Now, the Philistines adopted 2 approaches, idolatry and immorality. That was why when Delilah succeeded, they went to their altars to thank their God. And the altar succeeded because of the stupidity of Samson. You can't listen to any voice. At least think and listen to the voice of your own reasoning. Reason. The apostle said it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So if you engage your reason, you can change your season. It is not reasonable. Hallelujah. Please, if you don't want the power to leak, just ensure you are connected to the right voice. You know, as I spoke about Samson, I have no pastor to talk to him. There was one young man. He had so much power, anointing, move like water, blind seeing, deaf hearing, all manner of things happening. And they asked this man, suddenly he wasn't coming to church anymore. And they asked him the question, why are you not coming to church? I think the pastor was like a teacher who was more into teaching ministry, pastoral ministry, without a lot of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he was a good pastor. And they said, why are you not coming to church anymore? He said, come to church to listen to who? To which pastor? Can he pray for the sick? Does the blind see when he prays? Who is he that I'm to sit under him? That guy didn't last. When he couldn't listen to anybody's voice anymore, madness arrested him. Insanity. I think he died a mad person. Am I communicating? Power must go if you don't listen to the right voice. Power must disappear. And may God help you so that, because there is no vacuum in nature, when the power of God steps out, the devil must step in. That was what happened to that guy. He became mad. It's a new day for you. Today I was not planning to come and preach too much because I overpreached last week, sir. But I realized that we must conclude on this subject of power by dealing with the forces that will help us to leak power. Now, all the things I said, do the opposite. You retain power. You walk in power. Look for the right association. People that are correct.
you will move in audacious power. Maintain consecration. Your fasting and prayer life should not go. Anything that brought you where you are, increase it, intensify it. You will walk in power. Run from transgression. Run from disobeying God. And you will walk in power. Apply discretion in the talk of your mouth. Apply discretion. Yes, have friends. Just love liberally, but talk thoughtfully. Right? Know when to start and know when to stop. Am I communicating? Know when to walk away. Know when to zip the lip. Hallelujah. Avoid the excessiveness of talk, and of course, just maintain connection with the right voice, the voice of the Father, the voice of your earthly, especially their godly parents. There are young people today who think that they know more than their earthly father and mother, who are godly parents. They think they know. But for most of you, of those children, your father may be at least twice your age or more. He has seen things you have never seen. He has seen things you have seen. But you haven't seen things he has seen. You may boast of your new clothes, but he has new clothes plus old clothes. We'll look at that for another day. Another day. The voice of your parents. Voice of pastor, mentor, teacher. The voice. Quality relationships. And the voice of your own reason. You sit down and think. When you engage your thought, you magnify your result. Just sit and think. It's a new day. Somebody is blessed. Who is that? Who is that that is trusting God for power never to leak? Stand on your feet in a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The loudmost shout of praise. Take your seat 1 minute because of how sluggishly you stood up. Who is the most blessed person here? Stand with the loudest shout of praise. The loudest shout of praise. Lift your hands and worship him and honor him. Adore him, magnify him, glorify him. Father, we give you the praise. 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 Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Let's obey Rohosadi Gaya da Hasada. Lekasata Rata Satakaka. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. This is the kind of message you'll go home and walk on. But very, very quickly lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, thank you. Say it louder, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
For your goodness.
For your goodness.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your faithfulness.
For your faithfulness.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
To appreciate you.
To appreciate you.
For your word.
For your word.
That I just heard.
I just heard.
Lord, I ask.
Lord, I ask.
That you deliver me.
From the plague.
Of the wrong.
Of the wrong.
Association.
Association.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, help me.
Father, help me.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To maintain.
To maintain.
The right consecration.
The right consecration.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To run away.
From transgression.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To avoid.
Excessive talk.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To be connected.
To the right
voice.
Your voice.
All the time.
I receive.
That grace.
Oh, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hands and lift your voice and pray. Break it down.
looking for the throne.
Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord has heard and answered us in Jesus' precious name. I want us to take the next 3 to 5 minutes in appreciating God in the celebration of praise. For all the miracles he did for us in the month of November and all the things he has done for us. While that celebration is on, anywhere you are tonight and you are in need of surrender to Jesus, maybe the points mentioned affected you. The life of transgression and all the things that we mentioned. I'd like you to dance forward here, and very soon I'll pray for those watching online and trust the Lord that he will perfect all that concerns you. Father, I give you the praise and give you the honor. I'd like you to celebrate. This month is not permitted to end still until God grants your expectations and your heart's desires. Lift up your hands and appreciate him. Thank him. Let's go. Help me tell 3 people, congratulations. God shall meet your expectations before the month is over. Let's go. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. You are here in this moment. And you are saying, Pastor, I've heard the word of God today. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want today to mark a new day in my life. I need help from above. Anywhere you are today, you want forgiveness for your sins? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life? Pray this prayer after me. And say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. And no turning back. From today, forward ever. Backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive that grace. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name, amen.